Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Now it's time for Inside the Clubhouse, a show dedicated to the Chicago baseball fan, featuring the best Chicago baseball conversation as well as the big MLB topics, along with the biggest names, greatest guests, and listener interaction, starring Score Baseball insider Bruce Levine and Matt Spiegel. It all starts right here, right now, on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago's sports station.
It's a whole new world, a whole new radio studio. It's a whole new vibe here on Inside the Clubhouse. Also, I need to be careful not to hit the off button on my microphone, which is apparently right next to my thumb. Good morning, Bruce Levine.
We can still hear you.
All right, good. Whew, thank God.
Good morning, Matt Spiegel. It is Inside the Clubhouse. Matt and I will take you from 9 to 11 o'clock, and then, of course, Steve Rosenblum and Matt will take you up to the pregame show with Zach Zaidman, Cub Baseball, after that this afternoon. In the meantime, for the next 2 hours, we will talk to you about Chicago baseball, about baseball in general. We'll bring you some of the top guests in the game. Steve Cishek of the Cubs, along with Lucas Giolito of the White Sox, will be joining us. You are king on this show at 312-644-6767. Text Matt at 670-11.
Really looking forward to talking to Lucas Giolito today and Steve Cishek today. Giolito has just been phenomenal. And one of those years, Bruce, where if you're following along with the story of Giolito's transformation and his continued excellence, you're really learning a lot about pitching. There's a lot there to pick up on. So looking forward to that very much.
That's going to be fun. And by the way, Matt, Inside the Clubhouse, brought to you by Max and Benny's in Northbrook, your summer home for the best food in Chicagoland. Here's the checklist. The best deli, no doubt. The best full-service restaurant, without question. The best bakery, you bet. Max & Benny's has full dinners with all the trimmings from 4 to 9 p.m., 7 days a week. That includes skirt steak, roast beef chicken, and the freshest fish in Chicago. Max & Benny's has private dining areas for all of your party and business meeting needs. From 10 to 150 people are accommodated. Catering is king at Max & Benny's. Ask for John at maxandbennys.com. 30 minutes from downtown. 30 minutes from the Wisconsin border. Max and Benny's, where the pastrami sandwiches are piled as high as a Chicago skyscraper, almost as high as the run total of the Washington Nationals yesterday.
What a beautiful, gorgeous day for baseball. I was in the stands at Wrigley with my wife and our two girls, my two stepdaughters, and the four of us there on just a glorious day. There was a couple behind me, Bruce. It was their second game ever at Wrigley. The first time they were ever there, big Cub fans, was when Cole Hamels no-hit the Cubs for the Philadelphia Phillies a few years ago. So they saw no hits that day. Yesterday, they saw one hit until the ninth inning when there was a rally of for some fun for those who had stuck around. But boy, John Lester is the story on some level, really bad yesterday.
Yeah, you know, four of the last five have not been good, Matt. Last time out, last Sunday against Pittsburgh, six shutout innings. It was pretty good. But the three previous, along with yesterday, he's given up 23 runs in 18 innings. It's not getting it done. And Lester is not too happy about it either. He's usually the harshest critic of himself, Matt. He's very, very tough on himself.
This is John Lester saying that the loss yesterday is on him.
I mean, I feel fine. I mean, today sucks. Tomorrow I'll wake up and start a new day or get ready for another start. You know, it doesn't take the sting away from today. Joe's always said, you know, you win hard, you lose hard. And losing for me is even harder than that. Sucking as a pitcher is even harder than that. So it's my job to do better, and I'm not. And you know, let a five-game winning streak basically go down to the wayside because I didn't throw the ball very well.
We all want to sit around and dissect the stuff, dissect the sequence, what was different. Lester says that not a lot was different except the results.
I don't feel like stuff was much different from last time, just different results. And that's the shitty part about this game and you know, kind of my job. It's result driven. It doesn't matter how I feel or what the game plan was going in. You have to execute and get people out and keep them from scoring runs. And I'm just not doing that.
So John Lester comes up with a dud, 4 1/3 innings, 95 pitches. Yes, he gave up 9 hits. Yes, 8 of them were singles. But at the end, the balls were getting hit hard. You're in the 5th inning with 1 out, and you can't stay in there because your pitch count is up. It's just not the John Lester that we're accustomed to, especially this time of year where he's usually the resurgent John Lester, the guy that has driven them to 4 consecutive playoff runs in a row. And, you know, you have to think at some point at age 36, if this is John Lester, and that whether it's mechanical or not, you know, this is it's going to be a struggle for him to go out there and get it done the way he has in the past.
You know, he's not a stuff guy anymore, as we know. He loves the cat and mouse game. I thought it was interesting after last time out, the Pittsburgh game, the good one that you mentioned, Bruce. He said that he had success when he stopped giving in and throwing the fastball, because his fastball isn't what it used to be.
Right.
So he started having success by throwing the curve and throwing other stuff out of the zone and making guys chase. Well, these days, scouting reports turn around awful fast. So if guys don't chase, then all of a sudden you're getting behind and they're forcing you to come back with the fastball. And he's just got to be totally on point with control and sequence to be effective these days.
You're right. I mean, he's got to pitch backwards, and he does very well. I mean, the guy, he didn't come here throwing 94, 95. He was not that pitcher. Mm-hmm. But he has a way of mixing up his pitches, commanding his pitches, and being sneaky and quick enough to home plate that it's never really comfortable for the hitters. Now you're looking at a different John Lester. And, you know, it's predictable. Guys aren't always going to be great, especially after the amount of pitches and the amount of years that John Lester has pitched. So can he get it together? I think the one thing about Lester, and I think the Cubs staff, support staff around him, is that they isolate games from game to game, and that there's not a lot of, oh, I'm going to go out there and suck again. I think there's the professionalism and the quality of a guy that's almost won 200 games that he can go out there and pitch a good game the next time out. The question is whether he can be that type of ace for this team any longer going down the line.
Well, we're in a very weird place with this rotation, aren't we? Yu Darvish, the stuff continues to be great. He struck out at least 8 again, walked nobody. First time anybody in the history of baseball has done that 5 straight games. But, oh, by the way, he did give up 7 runs, 6 of them earned. If I were to ask you, Bruce, 1 through 5, your confidence level in this starting rotation, is Lester 5th right now?
Well, let's take it a step further. If the playoffs were starting today, Matt, okay, who would be your game one starter?
Yu Darvish.
Not for me.
John Lester?
Nope.
Jose Quintana?
Nope.
Kyle Hendricks?
Yes. You got it on the 4th guess.
It only took me 4 guesses to get to Bruce's
That's
head.
Me. That's,
oh, I get it.
You know, I mean, you can pick any of them and be right, okay? I mean, if any of them, if Hamels gets hot from here on out, he could be your number one.
Could be, but if it would be.
Well,
he
was your best pitcher before
he
got hurt.
2.84 ERA right? Before he got hurt.
Okay. Hendricks is starting to get back to being that pinpoint Hendricks again.
I love Hendricks. Very trustworthy.
Darvish, stuff-wise, has the best stuff on the team.
Mm-hmm.
However, not walking anybody in the last start was counterproductive to what he wanted to do. His breaking ball was coming over the plate. 3 of them got hit out, you know. So from the perspective of that day, that game, that if you're in a wild card game to win or go home, who do you choose today?
Yeah, probably Hendricks. All right, so you go Hendricks and then Quintana, then Darvish? Or
no,
that's me?
No. I mean, again, it's a 3 or 5 series, man,
uh-huh.
Right? So who am I going with in game 2? I would probably go with Lester in game 2. depending on how he was pitching up to that point. But today, if it's today, I'd go with Quintana.
Yeah.
Because it's results.
He's been unbelievable. The curveball is alive and well in a way it hasn't been in a long time for Quintana.
And who would be your two and three?
I right now, today, if it's me, and it's not right now, today, but right now.
It is on Inside the Clubhouse.
I probably go, and reason I go Darvish one is that he has the ability, obviously, to dominate absolutely anybody and outpitch absolutely anybody with the stuff. And he also has the strongest arm these days, in terms, in my opinion, of being able to stay stronger and go deepest.
I can't argue with it, other than the fact that I'm not as giddy about no walks as everybody else is. I'm not isn't it great? He hasn't walked anybody. You know, he's only walked two guys.
So sometimes you should walk somebody
absolutely.
And move around, of course. 100%.
And again... The feel good about himself, I think, is important. He feels, for the first time as a Cub,
really good about
like
himself.
A confident guy, that he belongs there, that he wants the ball, that he wants to be on the mound, that he trusts his stuff, that he trusts the people around him. He's kind of a nervous Nelly type guy. I mean,
he's everything, a sensitive man.
Everything has to be right for him, and I think it has been. Even He's got his butt kicked the other day.
But where's our series and who are we going against? Is it at Atlanta?
You're going against Atlanta.
All right. So it's in Atlanta.
It's in Atlanta. They have the better record.
Yeah. So I want Hendricks in game three at Wrigley. So I go Darvish, Quintana, Hendricks, and then I see where I stand after that.
Okay.
That's me in terms of right now. That could change in a month.
Yep. You're leaving two pretty good pitchers on the bench.
Two damn good ones.
Yeah.
Two really smart lefties who have adjusted their whole lives and have the best postseason success of any of those guys.
Yep. And you're leaving your ace, who's been your starting pitcher forever in opening games in Leicester, by the wayside. But I said, as of today, that's what you'd have to do. That's what you'd have to do.
So maybe it's Lester. Maybe you go lefty lefty, depending on if you want to go after Freddie Freeman. Maybe you go, Lester and Quintana on the road in Atlanta, and you come home for Hendricks and Darvish, and Hamels is in your bullpen as that extra lefty right away.
Something he's never done. 312-644-6767. Who is your starting pitcher for the playoffs today for your Chicago Cubs? It's starting today. I don't know if you heard or not. But again, you're going to have to pick one of those five starters. And maybe it's a good problem to have, because how many teams, Matt, have five good starters that would even be in the conversation?
I think it's a good problem to have as long as you actually win your division, which is still up for debate. Yeah. In fact, they're in second place as we stand right now.
Or if you're not facing Washington in a wild card game.
Right now, those are your two wild cards, are the Nationals and the Cubs, with the Phillies and the Mets in hot pursuit, and a few other teams not dead as of well. In the bullpen, Bruce, I thought it was interesting yesterday. There's Pedro Strop in the lowest possible leverage. That's where he belongs right now. It's a 4-0 game as Lester's taken out. Strop comes in and is awful. On a 2-2 count, he hits a guy, and then he throws a wild pitch, and then he walks a guy. It's 7-0 before you look up. But that's where Strop needs to be if he's anywhere on this pitching staff right now.
If you were Joe Maddon, what would you be doing differently with Strop?
Nothing.
Okay.
Nothing. I mean, I'm saying that's Strope threw in a couple of high leverage spots last week before guys were back and healthy, and I didn't think that he deserved to be there. And now with everybody here, he's not there. I think it's an interesting moment here where Joe Maddon has to choose the guys who are getting outs. Rowan Wick deserves to be probably the second most trusted guy out of your pen. Like, Kimbrel's your ninth. If you go seven innings, if your starter goes seven and you want to go to somebody in the eighth, I think it's Wick. If unless you like Ryan for matchup's sake, and then you go
he's
Kimbrel.
The new hot woman in school.
She's gorgeous.
That's who he is right now.
He throws a high fastball that carries, and
I know
12-6 curveball that looks
does
just
it
like
hold
it.
Up? We will find out. It's been really nice so far. Right now, if you were in spring training right now, and you would have said, well, we're going into August, the pennant run is here, we're switching up and back between first and second place almost every other day, and Rowan Wick and Kyle Ryan are most trusted relief pitchers to get us to Kimbrel.
You know what this is? It's the modern era of bullpen. You find the guy. Yeah. Bullpens are volatile year after year. They told us in the spring they were going to do this, cycle through pitchers and find the guys. They found them.
Theo Epstein pointed out the other day when he talked to us that this has been a bad year for all bullpens in baseball, and that the bullpen ERAs are up significantly everywhere. And he said, you know, looking at it, it's all about the 98 mile an hour pitcher and right. not being able to hold up over a 2 or 3 year period.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you bring in the next guy that throws 98 and eventually they either blow out or they fail.
That's what it is. That's what it is. Just cycling through guys. I felt bad for Strope as I watched him yesterday because, as always, his delivery is so much upper body. But even more so now, as you've pointed out many times, Bruce, those hamstring injuries have really wrought havoc right. on his delivery, and he has to be so much upper body, and it's throwing off the mechanics.
Honestly, I'd put him on the IL, and he'd have to agree to it, and he probably wouldn't, being the soldier that he is and the warrior that he is and the great pitcher that he's been for the Cubs for the last 6 or 7 years. From the perspective of getting his body together for the last month of the season, it would probably serve him well to kind of continue to try to rehab his body.
And you're dealing with a situation right now, there's still 9 bullpen guys on that team and only 3 position guys. Derek Holland got on a bat yesterday.
I know.
Because he had no choice.
It's a really rough go right now. I mean, you're ending up with guys out of position playing positions late in games that you don't want because of the fact that you have a backup catcher, right? And then you basically only have 2 other moves.
Right.
So you can't really hardly even double switch. You can, if you pinch hit, the guy's automatically going to have to go into the game somewhere.
I know. Yeah. I wonder whether in our future, and it's a broader conversation, that's going to change for baseball. Well,
there's going to be a 26-man
right?
next year.
Yeah. So, yeah, the 26-man is probably going to be that extra pitcher.
But people will continue to be greedy and go to 9 bullpen guys.
This is a great text. The 98-mile-an-hour reliever is the MLB version of the young NFL running back getting 300 carries. Thanks for your 2 or 3 solid years. Your knees are bad? All right, we'll move you on.
Yep.
These pitchers get Tommy John. It's absolutely what it is, just cycling through guys, getting the most you can.
It is, and what is it? It's the bigger, stronger, available athlete in these sports that they take advantage of but can't hold up because of the power in the arm not being able to keep up with the rest of the body, the power of the running back, their legs not being able to keep up with being hit by 250-pound linebackers. It's the same thing. It's the stronger, bigger athlete who is used for a short period of time, but longevity is not a part of their careers.
Bruce, what time are our guests coming on? Really looking forward to talking to
9:30, we have Steve Cishek of the Cubs. 10:30, Lucas Giolito of the White Sox. Your calls in the meantime, 312-644-6767.
Let's take a phone call or two before we take a break here, because then we'll get to Steve Cishek. This is Don in Burr Ridge. You're on 670 The Score. Hello, Don. How are you?
I'm great. I'll listen every week, call in almost every week. Anyways, I love the idea of putting Strope on the IL, trying to help him out to fix his body. Bruce, I 100% disagree with you about Lester being number one. You're going on reputation, not on current. I mean, Nolan Ryan was a stud. You don't want to bring Nolan Ryan back. I love Lester, but age is catching up on him.
No, he's not my opening day.
Ryan's not your guy?
No, he's not. He's not my starter. Hendricks would be my starter if the playoffs started today.
Hendricks would be.
Yeah.
Yeah. But then Lester in fairly short order.
Yeah, yeah.
I understand that.
I mean,
Lester is as tough and smart as they come.
Again, it's based on today, and, you know, I would probably be wrong about today because of the fact that he is struggling. He's not the pitcher he once was. But I do know that he will put in the work and he will put in the metrics with Hadavi and with Borzello and the catchers to get himself to be better, a better version.
This is George in Old Town before we take a break. What's up, George? How are you? You're on Inside the Clubhouse. That one's not clicking there. Zach Withers. Hey, hello, George.
Hey, Matt. Thank you, Matt. I agree. I think that Quintana should have had 2 more wins than what he had. He hasn't been getting the run support. His curveball is on point, like you said. But if the wind's blowing in, I probably would go with Hendricks because he's unflappable when that's happening.
Yeah, he's talking about the one game scenario there in terms of Hendricks versus
Quintana.
Yeah, the one game
against Washington. Right now, it would be in Washington.
Oh, this is not the way it's supposed to be.
Maybe Scherzer, depending on how hard they had a fight. You know, they're only, what are they, five games out in the loss column behind Atlanta?
Yeah, Washington.
That's not an impossibility.
It is a remarkable turnaround for Dave Martinez.
It's not an impossibility that that would be it. So there's a slight chance that you would be playing someone else. But right now, you would probably be playing Washington in Washington. And if they didn't have to fight for that spot, it would be Scherzer against my guy, Hendricks.
You know what's weird about the Nats? They've won 8 of their last 10, but that's not what's weird. They're one of those teams. They're 36-26 at home and 35-31 on the road. Hey, winning record both home and away. What's that like?
Yeah.
I don't know.
It is weird. You know, we can get into some of those other numbers, too, because there are some strange numbers out there this year, especially for runs scored and you know, it's going to be interesting to talk about. But we have to take a break. When we come back, continue to take your calls at 312-644-6767. Steve Cishek of the Cubs, our next guest.
Looking forward to it. It's Inside the Clubhouse. Lucas Giolito coming up later on in the show. It's Bruce Levine, Matt Spiegel here Inside the Clubhouse on 670 The Score.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Welcome back into Inside the Clubhouse right here on 670 The Score. Lots of your texts coming in at 670-11, and we appreciate that.
Is that you on the bass?
It is not. Oh. I don't know who that is in David Bowie's band right there on the bass. It's not Len Casper either. Len Casper should accompany himself on the bass when he sings Take Me Out to the Ball Game. This is my strong opinion for the day, and I'm going to stick to it.
I love when Len does that.
Does it well.
You notice
they
hardly have any celebrities anymore.
I'm glad they've moved away from the minor celebrities, from the HGTV third tier star.
Don't they have any video different than Harry in 1983?
What else do you need?
I mean, that's sport code.
But you
think that's in the Hall of Fame?
Bruce, you achieved perfection as a Take Me Out to the Ball Game singer with Harry in that coat in 1983 and the drunken Cub fans. There's no
need
to recreate.
I want Mongo.
Only when he screams at Angel Hernandez down below.
You're
right?
Out of here.
It is Inside the Clubhouse on 670 The Score, and time to take a conversation with a Cubs reliever.
Steve Cishek, the fine relief pitcher of the Chicago Cubs, joining us in Inside the Clubhouse for a few minutes this morning. Good morning, Steve. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you guys doing?
Hey, we're doing great. I know you're just back from that hip injury. Where would you say percentage-wise you're at? I mean, I guess that's a loaded question to ask any relief pitcher in August of any season, regardless of whether you had time off to rehab an injury.
No, yeah, percentage wise, I don't know about percentage wise, but I do know I'm, you know, I'm starting to feel better. I've had two outings since then, and you know, you're trying to just get your feel back. And you know, I felt pretty good yesterday, so I'm going to try to build off that, and you know, hopefully, you know, the rest of the stuff kind of takes over.
So I have a solution to all the problems that bullpens face late in the season. And here it is, Matt, and here it is, Steve. Every bullpen guy from August 1st on gets a 3 or 4 day furlough during the baseball season. And it's not on the IL. It's not listed as an injury. It's listed as a time for each pitcher who's important down the stretch to take some time off and get better. Would 3 or 4 days, Steve, give a bullpen guy or a pitcher that's important at the back end enough time to feel like they've recovered enough to be stronger in that last month or month and a half of a season?
Yeah, actually, I think so. So you're saying like it could be like a team kind of not an option, but, you know.
It's mandatory that everybody takes 3 or 4 days off in the bullpen from August, and they're replaced numbers-wise without any penalty to the team. But that just basically how the Dodgers have used their pitchers over the last 3 years by manipulating the 10-day IL. This would be a different way of saying, hey, you know what? Everybody gets a summer vacation and every job in the world. Why not bullpen pitchers?
Yeah. No, I think it's great because then, too, that you get your 3 or 4 days, whatever it is, and then that doesn't really, you know, throw you off mechanically or anything like that. You know, when you go on the DL sometimes, you know, you come back and you don't feel as sound as you were before, which, you know, sounds ridiculous because, you know, you were feeling hurt before. But, you know, it takes a couple games to get settled back in, you know, believe it or not. And so, yeah, I mean, you're giving your body, your arm, shoulder, everything, you know, a 3-4 day blow, and then also you're not too far removed from, you know, where you were at mechanically before then. So, I'm all for that one.
Yeah, I just made it up, so you know it's not going to happen.
But what you just said, Steve, is really interesting because we've had a chance to watch you and Kimbrel and Strope and Kinsler all come back over like the last 3 weeks, and some of you get tossed right into high leverage situations. Some of you be given an opportunity to kind of refine the mechanics. It seems like it's a challenge, and it's probably different for every guy in terms of how quickly you feel at the top of your game right away.
Yeah, and you know what the biggest challenge is too, and especially when you come into, you know, a high leverage situation, obviously we want to be in those situations, but when you've had like a 10-day blow, it can be challenging sometimes to back off. So like you feel great, you're like, oh, I'm ready to go. Then all of a sudden you're overthrowing, overcooking everything, because you're so fired up, you feel so fresh that, you know, you've been pitching kind of either, you know, a little bit fatigued or with something going on before, and you learned how to pitch with that. Now you feel good, and then you're trying to ramp up and let it eat. Sometimes you got to, like, take a step back and calm down. And I think we've all kind of learned that lesson. And the funny thing is, too, is, you know, we've been around the game for a little bit now, all of us guys, and it is almost impossible to tell yourself to back off when you're in a big situation, or even if it's not, like, you're just excited to be out there again. I'm going to back off. It just doesn't happen. Like, you're a competitor, and so to find a way to, you know, slow it down a little bit is really challenging at times.
God, what a tricky sport this is. What a weird sport, Steve. What happens to your stuff, to your fastball and or your slider, when you get tired? And I think it's different for everybody, but what happens to your pitches particularly?
It tends to flatten out. In the beginning of the year, it was just my stuff just has more life to it. You know, when you get a little bit, you know, run down, you're out there battling, and I think my stuff in particular just flattens out, where the velocity would look the same, even maybe a tick higher at times, because I'm getting after it even harder, knowing, you know, I'm feeling it a little, but the stuff is flatter. So, you know, Kinsler and I joke around. He's like, I like you better at 88 to 90 than throwing, you know, 93, because your stuff, you know, dives down on the guys, the barrels down on them. And there's some truth to that, because it's not that I'm not giving as much effort. It's just more effortless. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, we call it easy speed, you know, just, nice and smooth and just driving the ball down as opposed to just giving it everything you got because you're fatigued and you're a competitor and you want to be out there. So I think that's the biggest difference, really, is just how the stuff plays out of your hand with the life on the fastball.
Steve Cishek of the Cubs joining us and inside the clubhouse for a few more minutes. Steve, take us inside that clubhouse, if you will, and tell us on a daily basis. You know, we hear the fans' angst about being a half game up or a half game out or two games ahead or a game and a half behind. You know, the media is always clamoring about why isn't this team on pace to win 95 games. What is it like in that clubhouse on a daily basis? What are the conversations about other than just getting ready for that game that day?
Yeah, I mean, basically it's pretty simple as just, you know, no one's panicking. You know, we joke around about the panic button and stuff like that, and everyone, you know, kind of freaks out. And I get it. You know, fans are really passionate about this team. You know, we're passionate about the game as well. But at the end of the day, we know we have a good team. So no one in here is freaking out about, you know, where we are, where we should be. You know, we're still in the hunt where we've got half a game up right now. I mean, it could be a lot worse, but it's not. And we knew this coming in that it was going to be a tight division, so it's not a surprise to us. But, you know, at the same time, we believe we have the best team, and we just go out there every day with the expectation to win, and that's really all you can ask for. I mean, we maybe put a little too much pressure on ourselves early on in the year, and we kind of smoothed that out. But, you know, where we're at, we're still in the hunt. We know it's going to be tight all the way to the end, and we knew that from the beginning, so we just kind of embrace it.
It's Inside the Clubhouse on 670 The Score. Steve Cishek is our guest. You know, my impression of you, Steve, around the clubhouse, very approachable, pretty even keel, darn near pleasant, Steve Cishek. But then we've heard from other players, actually, that when things go bad, you take it hard on yourself. That you really feel it, and you feel it for maybe a couple of days. Is that true? Is that something that has evolved at all for you over the course of the career? Because that can be hard if you feel it that deeply when something goes wrong.
Yeah, I mean, I'd say that'd be one flaw in my game is I'm very passionate, I'm quiet and everything, but when it comes down to winning baseball games, that's what I get paid to do, is help the team win. So if I do something that costs us a game or takes away the momentum from, you know, the game, you know, I take it pretty hard, but I wouldn't say days. If there's one thing I've, you know, prided myself on, especially after the 2015 season, is, you know, don't take the game home with you. So the next day I'm ready. I just want to be back out there, just, you know, make up for it and, you know, get after it again. But yeah, these guys, I have a hard time when I come into a game late in the ball game and our guys put us in a good position to win. And maybe I can't get three outs, or, you know, I give up a couple of runs that could potentially cost us the game. I get pretty frustrated, but, you know, once the game's over, hopefully we win that game, which has happened a few times this year. I'm back on cloud nine, happy again. But, you know, if we lose, you know, I take it hard for a little bit. And then after about, you know, when I go home, see my girls, wake up the next morning, realize it's a new day, I'm ready to go back after, get back after it, you know, forget about what happened. But I think that's something we all battle with, but, you know, I care a lot about what I do, and, you know, sometimes it can eat you up a little, but like I said, I come back ready for more the next day.
When you look at Rowan Wick and what he's been able to do and ascend in that bullpen with you guys, I guess it's not a surprise to you, because you one day all of a sudden were a revelation and a fixture in a bullpen, and it happens to a lot of guys that are there for years like you've been. But from the perspective of getting noticed and then stepping up your game and being that functional back-end guy, how does that happen for a young guy like Rowan?
Yeah, I mean, it's just building confidence with your coaching staff, right? I mean, when Rowan got called up earlier this year, he was pitching well, but because of, you know, having options, you know, he got sent back down, and, you know, we encouraged him, like, hey, like, your stuff looks good. Like, don't change your mindset. You know, you're going to be back up here soon. And, you know, sure enough, it happened. You know, he looks phenomenal. I mean, he's confident right now, and he's got to keep, you know, putting him in those big situations. Like, he's getting the job done, and that's all that matters at the end of the day. You know, he's keeping the score the same when he comes out of the game, and that's something we need. And he's filled that role, you know, tremendously. So we're going to keep, you know, using him in those situations, I'm sure. And it's exciting for us to watch because the guy is just locked in right now. So, you know, we're very happy for him.
Do you like the all-white uniforms here for Players Weekend, Steve?
Do I like them? Personally, not really.
Yeah.
But
you guys look like ice cream men, you know? You have an ice cream truck, like a Good Humor truck. Or...
The helmets are so weird. The white matte helmets. I can't wrap my head around it.
It's a little different, but, you know, it changes things up. I guess spices it up. But, I mean, I'm traditional. I like the old school uniforms that we wore earlier this year. In our regular home unis, but the all whites, they're a little tough.
Well, be thankful you're not wearing all black like Washington was. Those looked like they looked like prison uniforms.
Yeah, we thought they were the University of Vanderbilt playing us.
But Speed Pass, why Speed Pass here on Player's Nickname, Steve?
Yeah, my first job. Like official job, I was a mobile gas station attendant, and so I got the speed pass wand, and I was pumping some lady's gas one day, and one of my buddies caught me, and he yelled "speed pass" out the window, and I'm like, "Oh shoot, that better not stick!" And sure enough, like I was speed passed from the rest of my high school days.
That's outstanding. Keeps you humble though. Keeps you remembering that job at the mobile. Could be worse.
Oh,
life could always be worse.
For sure.
Well, one day,
also, when I'm at a visiting ballpark or anywhere, if I hear speed pass, I know it's someone from back home. So I turn around.
Steve, thanks a million for joining us and taking some time out for us on Inside the Clubhouse today. Have a great day. I'll see you at the ballpark.
All right. Sounds good. Thanks, guys.
All right, thanks. Steve Cishek. What a refreshing guy to watch pitch. Just you wind him up and he goes out there and throws 80 games a year for his entire career.
Amazing.
Something really, really, really underrated, and as good a guy as he is a pitcher, maybe even better.
Pretty cool. That's Steve Cishek on Inside the Clubhouse. Lots to come here today. Lucas Giolito next hour. We got to talk about Dylan Cease, who maybe had his best start. He thinks it was his best start of the season last night. Bottom of the hour was brought to you by the Chicago Wolves. Your Western Conference champion Chicago Wolves will open the season on Saturday, October 5th. For group and season tickets, visit ChicagoWolves.com. And it was brought to you by the Chicago Dogs. Baseball with everything. Last call for fun with the Chicago Dogs. Baseball over Labor Day weekend. Catch the final fireworks next Saturday. Bark at the ballpark next Sunday. And catch on the field on Labor Day. Tickets at thechicagodogs.com. It's The Score. Inside the Clubhouse on 670 The Score. Got a few minutes to take some phone calls, Bruce, on a variety of things. Your concepts on the relief situation around major leagues has elicited some thoughts.
You know, Rick Hahn and Ricky Renteria had some interesting things to say this week.
They did.
It all stemmed from Renteria talking about metrics or no metrics. Hahn talked about it, but we have people that want to talk about that as well.
Yeah, we'll get to Renteria and Hahn at the top of the hour. But first, this is Daryl in Aurora on 670 The Score. What do you say, Daryl? How are you? Welcome in.
Great show as always. Very insightful on Chicago baseball. But a quick question. And I was going to comment. I do agree with Bruce's idea about Hendricks. I think Hendricks right now is your most reliable pitcher. You know, the thing about the Cubs is they have all the pitchers are smart pitchers. Like, and it might be even good to have Lester and Hamill in the bullpen in a way. But my question to you guys is, if the Cubs get to the World Series this year, will this be Manfred's best managerial season? Thank you.
I think so. I mean, again, they are on pace, Matt, to win 86 games. The winner, the Cardinals, at this point, if the season was to stop today, are on pace to win 87 games this season. They're the only division in baseball that do not have a team that's won 70 or more games. With 36, I believe, 34 left to go for the Cubs. So, you know, again, projecting the Central Division of the National League is difficult because they are, in a sense, the most competitive and also the worst record-wise.
Yeah, I think Joe's done – he's had a couple different years where he's done some very good jobs overcoming injury, overcoming some awkwardness within the clubhouse and such. This year, this team should be better than an 86 win team.
So it's on Joe?
No, I'm not saying it's on Joe, but I can't call it his best year. I wouldn't be able. I mean, if they get there in the postseason, I guess was his theory and positing that. Well, then, yeah, I'm sure you'd have to talk about it in some of those terms. But talent wise, this team ought to be better. And it's I'm not saying it at all. It's all on Joe. It's on the players.
What part is on Joe, do you think?
What part is on Joe? Well, it's difficult to trust or to not trust some veterans who've done it for you before. But I think Pedro Strop has been clearly broken for a lot longer than Joe decided he was broken. So I'll put that there.
All right. You know, I get it. I mean, I get the fact that you want to go with the hot hand. But when you're trying to develop a bullpen for the last month of the season and you have tried and true guys from the past, I guess the tendency is to try to get them back to where they were because he was the most important setup man for them over the last, what, 4 or 5 years?
Absolutely, but yeah. I feel like there was a point in the year when Tommy Hotovy was telling you very clearly, this is what's wrong with Pedro Strop, and he would say so on our air, in fact, with Mully and Haw, and then Joe would still go to him. So, yeah. You know, there's a couple things like that in my mind.
Okay, but, you know, again, 86 wins is where they're at right now. So when you look at this club, there's nothing that tells you for sure what these last 34 games are going to be all about, because they could get hot. They could end up with 90 wins and, you know, maybe win the division by 5 or 6 games.
Absolutely could. I still think they're the best team in the division.
Based on your desire for them to be, or based on the fact that they on paper still have the best starting pitchers.
It's starting pitchers, but also now the diversification of the lineup. Castellanos has been a revelation. Kemp has actually had some real good contact in a couple key moments.
Oh boy, I don't want to count on him.
Well, no, but he had a sack fly.
He's still
in a moment.
Hitting below 200.
I
know, isn't he?
He's probably not. He's not a starter, but right. I mean, you know,
he has brought
back
energy. Castellanos has been a revelation for them.
Absolutely.
I don't know. There might be 3 or 4 game difference right now if he hadn't been on the team.
Yeah. Based on that, and based on the fact that Kimbrel, his last couple times out, has looked like Kimbrel.
Yeah.
You know,
I think, you know, it all could fall in. Again, the hot team will win going down the stretch here, or we'll have this same race that we've had all the way where the Cubs and nobody else, I guess, the biggest lead they've had is 3.5 games. The biggest deficit since the 1st of May has been 2 games. So that's the division. That's who you got.
Mm-hmm. Let's go to Mike downtown last up here this hour before we take a break and resume. It is Mike on Inside the Clubhouse. What do you say, Mike?
Good morning, fellows. Bruce, I'm very interested in your perspective. Rick Hahn seems to be getting an increasingly tight collar. You know, these last 2 weeks have been terrific for the Sox, especially with Giolito. Does Hahn not understand why fans are impatient? He seems to forget that the fundamental concern of Sox fans is we've been paying for 7 years of losing seasons. He's not had, I believe, other than that first year he took over, a winning season. We haven't been to the playoffs in 11 seasons.
I think he took over the year after.
All right, so he hasn't had a winning season ever.
Mm-hmm.
It seems to me, it's like Jerry Angelo before the end of his time with the Bears. I'm surprised at a guy who's as sophisticated as Hahn to get so irritated when fans look, he just hasn't produced. I mean, what else is there to say? I'm curious as to your perspective.
Yeah, and thanks for the call. I think the fans' perspective can be anything that it wants to be, Matt, and that is they're going to pass their wins for 2018, possibly this weekend. Okay, so they're on pace. They're on pace to win 76 ball games after they won 62 last year. I think everybody looking at the White Sox, and correct me if I'm wrong, said any type of winning percentage that was somewhere between 72 and 75 games was going to be a good year this year.
I harbored dreams of approaching 500. And that's where they'll be.
I don't know, based on
dreams of approaching.
Based on that, the rest of the league wasn't good.
At the time, I thought Carlos Rodon was going to continue what he had done last year. And right. In fact, he's fallen apart and even been there.
Yeah.
So that was part of it.
Yeah.
I will say there's a big article on MLB.com today about teams who are out of it who should contend next year, and the White Sox are right at the top of that list from Anthony Castrovance on MLB.com.
In our next hour, we'll talk White Sox with Lucas Giolito and you. We will talk Cubs. Do the Cubs players think that Joe Maddon is the right guy going forward? All of that as we continue on.
It is Inside the Clubhouse on 670 The Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.